If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I've come to grow quite attached to you people.
I don't want to remember where I came from.
There's always another morning to turn a setback into a success.
Was there someone in there with us?
No, sirree.
Tell me how I can help.
What do you know about that creature?
Do you have a message?
We got this, buddy. You and me.
Let me catch you up.
Have a safe travel.
I'm afraid of what I'll see.
Open your eyes, Krayloth.
And with a clenched jaw, he says, "Yes, sir."
Welcome back to Dice Shame, episode 79, Bare One Soul.
This week's MVP is Andy C. for his review that he left us on Podchaser. Thank you so much, Andy.
We've said it all, so Henry, why don't you speak for us this week?
This week, we want to say thank you to everybody who listens to Dice Shame. Thank you for making the start a great experience.
Anything else to add?
Mando saw Bunny down on our front porch.
Okay. Yeah, all right. All right. Let's do this.
Thanks, Henry. Let's do this. You guys remember those old cartoons where someone would be doing something on stage and it's like going on too long or not getting a good response?
And the hook?
They get the hook!
Yeah.
Yep.
The hook!
It's like a cane.
Yeah. It is. It's something and it's really big and it goes around the performer's waist and I want one.
Yeah, me too, for Alex.
Well, I was just going to say sometimes there are instances
when Doran doesn't shut up.
I'm sorry.
Hook? Get the hook.
We need a virtual hook.
Get the hook.
I never actually thought about that in context to reality. That must be a real thing.
Yeah, it's got to be a thing because you...
I wonder if it was part of a bit, though. Like, it wasn't a real thing, but there was a performance that invented it as part of the fiction of that performance.
I don't know, because now stand-up comedians, especially at like improv nights, have red lights.
Well, but that's about the time, right?
Timing and pulling them off stage. It's the bigger feeling is when the red light goes on, you get off stage. But there was a time when a red light didn't exist.
Wait, so you're telling me the natural progression was they used to just have to yank people off the stage? They couldn't have someone at the back
and
be hand symbols?
Yes,
they didn't have lights yet, so they're like, just yank them off with force.
They play music on top of people like acceptance speeches, right?
Yeah,
so maybe they used to do something like that. But with a hook.
Okay, then let me ask you this. Why not a trap door? You know?
Well, it's too much engineering.
Okay, pull the trap door.
But think about it. When you're doing a comedy show, what's fucking funnier than a big hook coming on?
Nothing's funnier than the hook.
It's pretty funny.
It's part of the humor in my mind. Like, if someone's just like, let's just yank him off stage, then the audience, when this comedian is being booed off stage and the hook comes on, it's part of the joke, right?
I would
think that's fucking hilarious.
I'm just saying I kind of agree with Rob's point. It probably was invented as part of a gag.
Rob is looking it up. I can see it in his face. He's
furiously
Googling
searching.
Where did the hook off the
it's
stage
It's called go? The vaudeville hook.
Ah!
I've learned so far.
Yes, it is.
The vaudeville hook.
The hook they used was actually the curtain hook they're using to move the curtains back and forth anyway. So it's not like they invented a hook only for this purpose.
They did use the hook to grab entertainers.
That's the part I don't know
the
yet.
Von and Dodd hook?
The hook of the Von and Dodd!
Oh, no. Those giants, they'll get you.
No, but I do think in D&D, in Waterdeep, you know, there's some like comedy improv clubs,
of course.
Do think they use the hook.
Though he didn't originate it, the hook is forever associated with Howard Sandman Sims, a tap dancer who would use the hook on bad acts at the Apollo Theater.
Hey!
There we go, at the Apollo
Ryan's right.
Bad act.
For some reason, I also associated with tap dancing. Like if you're doing a tap dancing dealio.
Usually they're bad acts. That's why.
Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-chum. Now, it's definitely a spectral hook.
I was thinking mage hand moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Waterdeep, you know, I'd have to say that they're either using a hook or like a physical scythe.
They just cut the people.
We don't like
half.
This act. Off with their head, you know.
This is like a mariner's town, right? It's right on the beach. There are a ton of ships coming in and out. They definitely use the boat hook, right?
They hook them off the stage. Yeah. Over the boat hook.
Only occasionally.
Rob
fatal.
Is still deep in research.
All He's right. gone down a hole.
Sorry, I got stuck reading about Howard Sims now.
A hook hole. Come back to us, Rob.
Let's get back to Waterdeep.
Bring the hook out. See, in the yawning portal, they would have had like a poker. And you go, like, if you're.
And then they push them into the hole.
If your act is that bad, you get poked into the.
Get in the hole.
The hole.
Yep.
Get!
It's like one of those big cartoon hands, you know?
Only come back with riches. Untold riches. Boing. Speaking of untold riches, D&D.
Woo!
This is a dark time for the Nightstone Four. We're alone.
The Copper Cup is quiet.
We have the Hunt Lords after us.
It is. I feel it. It weighs heavily on Doran's soul.
Jack, you trip lightly down the stairs, I'm sure, ready to see your love, perhaps with a heavy heart.
It's definitely an anxious and grave energy. He got a really weird vibe from...
I would hope so.
Wants to get the hell out of here with Torin as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So what should be this, like, thank God you're here, is, like, Jack coming down and scanning, like, almost panicked, looking for Torin and being like, we have to go.
Torin's just standing in the entrance chambers of the hall and he grabs you by the hand and he's like, I know, let's get out of here.
Let's get you home.
We pause for a moment in the street in the shadow of a fountain in front of the Cartographers Guild in the Sea Ward. This is a building that you know well and, you know, you've spent a million hours there talking about surveying and charting and stuff. The fountain is frozen over, is quiet. Those hours seem long ago. And Torin's just standing in front of this fountain looking for answers.
What happened? What did they say?
I just don't understand. I was going to ask you that. Thank you for saving me, but what the hell happened? Why was I brought in here? And who are those people? And what do you have to do with them?
I got a letter from you saying that Kieran was here. When Kieran was not here, and that...
They were asking me about being a devil worshipper over and over, and I said no, obviously.
Something very strange has happened here. That owl, where is it now?
I don't know.
Okay.
Do you know what's happening?
I've got a theory, but I don't like any bit of it. There was a run-in with an imp... that didn't end well, and I'm wondering if they came to haunt you to get back at me.
Why would that happen?
Because they're evil. It's the definition of devils. They're out to trick and prey on us, and I don't know if... I don't know, I'm a little scattered. I didn't sleep at all. Let's...
He takes both of your hands in his, and he says, what do you know about that creature?
I don't know anything other than I got a letter. Certainly, I think it could be an imp that there was some dealings with.
There was some dealings with?
I don't know what happened here. I feel like you're... Let's...
I'll tell you what happened. I walked downstairs one morning, and someone who I think is Kieran is... greeting me all sweet and tender, exactly the way that Kieran normally would, and you're not there, and I presume for some reason that you've sent them to come and spend time with me to keep me company or help, or yeah, maybe look in on me while you're gone. Maybe I thought you were jealous or lonely, and then things started going wrong. Things started getting misplaced. So I sent a letter to you explaining that I had seen Kieran and I didn't hear back from you. And then one morning it was waiting for me there in my chamber.
A creature I've never seen before, except in a book, maybe. An imp, all foul wings and sharp teeth. And it told me everything. It told me how you called it into your service and used it for your means and traveled with it many days and gave it your work, and how it was here to ruin my life. And then the letter came. I fucking lied. I lied to the Inquisitors because I didn't want to believe it. I wanted to protect you. I don't think they believed me, Jack. But they didn't learn the truth from me. They didn't believe my lie, but I don't think they learned the truth. I told them I had no idea what they were talking about. But that thing, you're familiar, told me everything.
It told you its version of what happened in order to create the most harm in the world possible. And I'm so sorry that you got hurt and swept up in the middle of this. And like all good liars from hell, it weaved enough truth into its story to make it as real as it needed to be. Did I, in a moment of broken desperation, with what felt like the whole North crushing down on me and a giant destroying half a landscape, call out to get Kieran back from another realm, to have that answered by a creature who had what I thought was the power to help? Did it respond to my call? Yes.
Jack.
Did it help
Jack,
me Jack. Save?
Torin's looking around. Not here.
You're the one who stopped us here.
I don't want you making admissions in public that you can't take back. Let's go.
You're the one who asked
to
me.
Back to the Copper Cup and we'll
You
talk.
Brought this up. Let's go.
Just tell me that everything is going to be okay.
I'm going to do everything I can to make everything okay. There's always another morning to turn a setback into a success. Those are words I've lived by my whole life, and I got to hold on to that faith now. Sunrise is coming, Torin.
You guys head off back downhill south towards home. Kraloth. The curtains part, and you look in on a room dedicated to ritual and ceremony. An altar spans one wall, and atop it, a short podium holds an open book pierced with dozens of bookmarks made from a leaf, a piece of string, a feather. A glass cabinet beneath contains a mortar and pestle, jars of powders and other things. The shopkeeper has pulled off their cloak to reveal that they are a blue dragonborn of slight musculature, probably female, based on the short dorsal spines, wearing a belted yellow dress cut with slits to permit her long tail. She's pacing around the room, lighting small candles and placing them all around, on ledges and the floor and in sconces on the wall. Her beaded necklaces click and jingle as she walks.
I've been expecting you, my dear. Can I take your coat?
No, that's all right. Can I just sit anywhere?
Just a moment.
And she's like moving furniture around, getting things settled. Her eyes sort of pass over Red and Doran. Z's stayed out in the front room by the fire.
I've had a persistent visitor from the other side. Do you know of whom I speak?
And Kraloth thinks back to the apparitions that have appeared for him in the past couple of weeks. And just as he is about to say no, he stops and says, my old captain?
He's tenacious. Huh. Settle in now, get comfortable. That part is important. You have to be relaxed. Will you have tea?
Yes, please.
Doran kind of stands there. Actually, he's holding his axe, but with the hilt on the ground and kind of leaning on it.
She gestures for you to sit, Kraloth, in an armchair covered with a beautiful patterned blanket. And then she sets out a couple of other chairs in the corner of the room for you, Red and Doran. Then she brings a round table over and pulls it close between Kraloth's armchair and her own. She sets out a teapot and some glasses. Fetches a kettle, fills it.
You're a cleric of Kelimvor, hmm?
And Kraloth looks down and sees that he's actually been fiddling with his holy symbol nervously. Yes, indeed. He's guided me my entire life.
Have you ever reached out to the other side before in your line of work? Spoken with the dead?
Yes, actually, I have, but there's many different ways to speak with the dead. Perhaps you meet another.
You sit for a minute and drink the tea in silence, while she removes a hand-sized lump of turquoise stone and a heavy silver ring from a soft velvet pouch and sets them down on the table between you.
As I say, I've been expecting you.
How did you know who I am?
Relax now. Close your eyes.
With one eye still open, I'm going to roll insight.
She's stealing your shit.
I get a vibe.
Sorry. She's lifting a dagger.
I wrote this whole scenario just to fuck you over.
I got an 18. What is the vibe that I'm getting from this guy?
Ooh. She's excited to be part of this. She's probably never done something like this before.
All right. Well, I'll indulge her. And I close my eyes. Breathe in the remnants of incense and the tea in front of me, and do my best to slow my heart rate.
Doran and Red, are you guys closing your eyes too, or are you guys keeping them open to see what's about to go down?
I think Red will keep them open. Red is playing the quote-unquote bodyguard for Kraloth's suspicions. If anything should happen with this dragonborn, he's going to get ready to fuck shit up.
The candlelight dances, and the wicks gutter. For a few moments, you smell the fragrance of tea and incense in the air before anything starts to happen. And then electricity begins to crawl and shimmer up and down Skye's bare arms over her lips and snout, lingering in bursts behind her eyes. She bares her pointed teeth and grimaces, experiencing something unpleasant. Claws driving deep gouges into the table, gripping the edge in her hands and leaning forward. More electricity starts jumping off her skin in arcs, crackling and making contact with the turquoise stone, which starts giving off its own tiny arcs to the silver ring, a chain reaction building. A sweet, pungent smell fills the room as lightning pops and cracks in bright lines, staining your retinas and finally crossing the void between the two of you. Skye, Kraloth. Your armor catches the first of it, and then seeking, electricity rolls off the metal like a fire burning through a piece of straw and catches hold of your chest, your neck, your face. The Oracle's eyes widen and glaze over. She's still leaned forward, holding a broken piece of wood in her hands where she snapped it off from the table, crushing it to splinters. And then she smiles, globe eyes peeled and white, and the electricity diminishes, settling to the floor and the space between your fingers, sizzling almost ambient now. Red, as you look down at your paws, you can see tiny veins of lightning webbing between your own fingers over your skin, your fur. And then Kraloth, you hear it.
You forget yourself, Sir Kraloth. And worse, you've forgotten us.
Captain Chenieros.
Open your eyes, Kraloth.
I'm afraid of what I'll see.
You're afraid of your duty.
And at that, Kraloth tenses and his back straightens and he stiffens. And with a clenched jaw, he says, Yes, sir.
A spectral form stands behind the Oracle. Arms crossed. Translucent, heavy plate armor of a style that pricks your brain, hollow cheeks, green eyes burning at you.
It appears you've retained your devotion to Kelimvor, at least.
Oh, of course, you taught me as much. This is my path. I could never stray from it.
Ignorance is what I see.
What? What have I done wrong?
Red and Doran, you don't see or hear anything apart from these small arcs of lightning now and then dancing between Sky and Kraloth at the table. You do hear Kraloth responding to some unseen force.
What have I done wrong?
Willful heedlessness is what? Ignorance derived from the disorientation of planar travel, from trauma, and worse. I can understand. I appeared to you as many times as my meager substance could muster. To what result? Nothing!
But you've passed on, Captain. I had to do what I had to do. I had to leave you behind, and I don't understand why you've been appearing to me. Do you have a message?
Oh, I have a message. Allow me to finally illuminate our history and give you your orders for what you must do.
You see the spirit of Captain Trenyaros, who's walking out from behind the seer's chair, trailing ethereal mist behind him. This is a man whose armor you recognize, but whose face is gaunt, having died long ago. Hollow cheeks, but more filled out than you'd seen him before, not undead, just a spirit of himself. His hard green eyes burning at you from somewhere else.
The Knights of the Eternal Order are bound to duty, to bring peace to the living and the dead. We vow, you vow, Kraloth, to uphold this duty. Almost a millennia ago, Knights of our Order protected the realm with Kelimvor's divine guidance. And you and I fought side by side in thousands of battles. Do you not remember, Kraloth?
I remember, sir.
After a time, Kelimvor's will drove us to travel the plains of the multiverse, employing these as holy wizards and seeking out the dead hearts that would undo his glory. Our loyalty and determination lent us extraordinarily long lives, but we paid dearly for it. In order to seek out evil where it was brewed, where it was born out into the plains, you, I, our company, traveled somewhere cursed. Somewhere that would taint us with darkness.
He's pacing around the table now. He plucks at your cloak disdainfully, lightly kicks your golden shield where it leans against the chair. And Red Doran, as you watch, you see like a piece of Kraloth's cloak picked at by an entity. You see the shield wobble. You watch Kraloth's eyes trace this figure around the room.
To enter the demiplane of dread is to surrender your soul to it, like a fly in a web. One cannot leave that place intact. The evil weave of it, its nature, desiccates your God-given essence. And so we left our souls here, in Faerun, on the material plane, and we traveled to Barovia.
He's behind the seer now, again, his hands placed on the back of the chair, leaning hard.
I know our work there haunts you. Our connection to Kelimvor was strained. Our magic weakened over the decades and centuries we lingered there. You remember, as well as I, what it was like to watch our knights brought down by the determined ghouls and demon spawn, only to fight the reanimated corpses of our own company again and again. When I was finally slain, life force peeled from my body by the fangs of some cadaver. You were left alone. I'm sure the bodies of the Knights of the Eternal Order still wander the demiplane, restless and hollow. But you, Kraloth, I don't know how, but your body returned to this place. Memory fragmented, a craven shadow of your former self. A husk, but alive. I may be insubstantial, but I am still your captain. And our vows are unaltered by circumstance or time. Setting the dead to rest is your duty, God-given and sworn with blood!
If it is my duty to vanquish the dead, then what should I do with you?
Have you not been listening? To travel the demiplane, we divorced our souls from our bodies and left them here, in secret, in Faerun. You must find them and return your soul to your body and release your company from undeath and desecration. Let us depart this plane for the afterlife to be in Celeborn's presence.
And he's pacing now again, back and forth behind the seer.
You, Kraloth, you will have to overcome a great adversary to recover that which is most precious to us.
It is what I'm sworn to do.
That is correct. A silver dragon guards the repository deep in the Grey Peak Mountains. She is jealous and spiteful and very strong. And I fear her contract with the Order is conveniently long forgotten. She is called Clarion. If you fail, all is lost. Your body will decompose in the earth, and your soul, like ours, will remain. You will not pass into the afterlife, but haunt this mortal plane, like every one of your fallen company. Do not fail me, Kraloth. The seer has placed a ring here on the table. Take it with you and wear it. It will allow my spirit to follow you more freely on your journey and give you counsel where you need it. Cease forevermore your cowardice, Sir Kraloth, Knight of the Eternal Order, and Holy Cleric of Celeborn, and shake the ill fog from your memory. Your vows call to you!
I will go to the Grey Peak Mountains. I will find a way past the Guardian, and I will free you and our brothers from your eternal shackles. Captain, one thing from you, if you will.
Speak.
If you can, and tell Jackson I'll see him soon.
His form insubstantiates before your eyes. Transparency increases and the mist draws in. And he exhales. A cloud of vapor rises. The lightning subsides from the room, and the candles seem to brighten again and flicker and come back to life. So going back to Jack, you and Torin are at the Copper Cup. It's mid-morning. Torin Cheldrick is looking at himself in a mirror over a wash basin, lathering his face for a shave. The room reflected behind him is one we've seen before, his personal quarters at the Copper Cup Fest Hall. The fireplace is newly lit, its warmth seeping slowly into the stale room. Torin's eyes are tired, his auburn hair wet from a bath. He scrapes whiskers off his cheek with a straight razor as he glances over his shoulder through the mirror at you, Jack. So, you got in last night from Everland. You must be exhausted.
I came as soon as I could. It's been a pretty brisk pace the last little while. Yeah. No more exhausted than you. You've been locked up for.
There's not much to do when you're in prison.
Fair.
So.
Yeah.
Are you just like sitting on the bed, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I think Jack's sort of sitting on the bed, looking at certainly like. You know, I think he's pretty upset just about the whole thing and trying to, like, not show so much of that and not maybe succeeding.
Last I know of your travels, you were headed to the High Forest.
Yeah, let me catch you up and I'll tell Torin everything. I'll you know, just starting from the High Forest and the Hunt Lords and Shattertop Cathedral and the Hunt Lords again, and then the wedding, and then the Hunt Lords again, and then the terrorists, and Everland.
And then the Hunt Lords again.
and then, like, this feeling of, like, they could be any moment showing up again.
Mm-hmm. And I think Torin asks a few questions along the way just for clarification. Mm-hmm. You know, he's showing that he's listening to you. But by the time you finish this story, and it's kind of a long one, he's done shaving, he's dressed for the day, and he's like ready to start work. He's like, well, I mean, you've always been a busy man, Jack.
Yeah.
So I have to tend to the Copper Cup. I don't know how much you know about what's happened here while you've been gone, but I mean, and then he looks kind of awkwardly around the room like, there's a lot that needs to be seen to today.
I understand.
Did you have plans?
Not exactly. You know, I don't know how long I was going to be in town necessarily. I was certainly hoping. But no, the Copper Cups, maybe tell me how I can help. Maybe I can help get some stuff sorted out this morning before I've got to go.
And he sits back down on the bed, looking a little bit deflated. Of course, there's a lot of stuff that you could help with. I mean, there's a laundry list. I'm sure it's only gotten longer since I was gone. I'm going to have to talk to the staff about it. But yes, of course, you can help. And I would love that.
I miss you every minute that we're away. Anytime there's a down moment, I wish I'd be spending it here. But now that I am here sitting with you, I can't stop seeing all of the ways the world is crumbling and failing around us, and the things that should be safe, like the church turning on us, and the places I should know, like Waterdeep having new buildings sprout up that I don't know. The institutions that should be protecting us aren't, and here I am with these three companions destined together to do something about it, and I can't stop, and that might mean I can't do anything but put you in danger.
He takes your hand and just holds it for a minute.
I think Jack starts to cry.
And Torin does his best to comfort you through this tide of emotions without really knowing or having anything to say, any way to comfort you. I recognize that you're going to have to leave again really soon, that you have a lot of concerns that aren't right here. But it would mean a lot to me if you could spend some time with me now.
Yes, yes.
That would mean a lot.
I'm 100%. Anything I can do while I can do it, I'm here.
And he lets out a long sigh. Well, I guess let's get to it.
Yeah, I think Jack wipes his eyes and sort of goes over to the basin and splashes his face and, you know, puts on a brave face and follows Torin out the room to go try and get this place in ship shape.
Clean up montage.
Scrubba, scrubba, scrubba.
So as you guys leave Torin's room in the Copper Cup, Torin turns as he's locking the door and looks at you, Jack. And you can see like a little glow in his face that he's, you know, he's glad you're here. And despite everything, you know, that maybe you guys can make it through. There's some hope there.
I might turn and squeeze his hand and give him a kiss and say, okay, let's do this.
And Rob, I want to give you inspiration for that. Good job. It's been a lot of adversity for Jack.
But it looks like you guys might make it through. Roll a 1d20.
Roll a d20.
relationship rolls. What's my stat?
Can you imagine? Natural one. Yeah, Torin's head explodes in front of you.
Scanners.
Showering you with gore.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ. Oh,
he's been a succubus the whole time. Or an incubus or whatever.
The imp's smaller head revealed within him. He was wearing your boyfriend's bodysuit the entire time.
Oh, Jesus.
Poor Jack.
All right.
It's like fucking hilarious.
Kraloth, as you pick up the silver ring, the ghostly apparition of Captain Trenieros nods once, curtly, and vanishes. Your friends are here, Red and Doran, sitting in chairs off to the side of this back room. You know Z's waiting for you in the front room of the shop beyond the curtain. Sky, the blue dragonborn seer, sits in the chair across from you, looking a little worn from her psychic exertions.
And how is that, dear? Illuminating, I hope. Unfortunately, I wasn't present in my body, so I can't help you interpret the meaning of anything specific.
Yeah, it was very illuminating, Sky. I'm sorry. I need to get some air. Do I owe you anything? Can I Can I pay you something? I
Yes, it will be 10 gold for the seance and 5 for the ring, please.
I got it. I don't worry, Kraloth. Are you okay?
Thank you, Red. I just need to step outside for a while.
Okay. And Red, like, obviously wants to comfort, but, you know, it's not the time.
Kraloth steps out of the beaded curtains.
Well, that was interesting.
Red pays the woman,
mm-hmm.
and he looks towards Dorn. Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened. Obviously, something shook Kraloth. I only got half the conversation. It seemed like Kraloth was talking to someone.
Yeah, it was a little disturbing, I have to say.
Well, let's just give him a moment to collect himself and yeah. then see what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Kraloth, you kind of brush through the curtain. Z's in the front room. She's like politely examining relics and books, just browsing to give you guys some time. Do you like fly past her out into the street, or?
I see her there, and at first I'm tempted. There is a temptation, hesitation to make up some excuse, and I smile. I catch myself smiling, and I kind of shake it off and push myself out the front door anyways.
And moments later, Red and Doran leave the back room. And
yeah, I feel like Doran kind of leaves sort of like bowing, you know, walking backwards, bowing towards the blue dragonborn, saying, oh, thank
you. Don't need to bow. Come on.
A weird reverence that you don't really know how to express.
Exactly.
And we see Z.
Yeah, Z's got her luggage piled up neatly near the front door where you guys had left it on entering the shop. So she like picks up a couple pieces. Maybe someone wants to help her with her stuff.
I stop her for a second and I say, let's just give Kraloth a bit of a head start.
What happened?
I think we explained it to her while Kraloth is out in the street.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Kraloth, you're out in the street. It's like a busy morning in the dock ward, but you feel alone maybe?
He's not sure what he feels. As he steps out into the streets, it's surprisingly quiet for a Waterdavian street. And he feels a chill, and he's having a hard time connecting to the moment. So he walks, and he can feel his heartbeat is pumping. And every now and then, as he passes by a tanner's shop, a flash happens in his mind where he sees a shop just like this one on fire. And he shakes his head, and he continues forward. And to the left of him is a well, and again there's this flash of a creature hunched next to it and pushing itself up and snarling, and he snaps out of that again, and it's just a regular well, and he continues walking forward, and he's shaking his head, and there's sweat forming on his brow, and he starts to get dizzy, so he sits down on a bench, and he desperately fumbles in his pocket, and he pulls out something and stuffs it into his mouth. And he swallows the scone almost whole. He sits there and kind of just waits.
And you feel a hand on your shoulder.
Oh.
And Red standing there. Hey, buddy, is everything okay? You kind of burst out of there without saying anything. We're a bit worried.
And Kraloth, all of a sudden, from this dour expression that you caught him in, almost trance-like or catatonic, instantly his face breaks into a big smile, and he laughs. Oh, Red, oh, yes, oh, yeah, I just needed to come out here and get some fresh air, you know? Oh, it's a bit chilly out, isn't it? Do you want a scone?
No, sure. And Red sort of takes it a little empty and puts it in his pocket. Like, Kraloth, and he looks back, Doran still standing by the door with Z, you know, 50 feet behind. They're alone in the square, Kraloth and Red. He's, I'm worried about you, but we only heard half of the conversation, but it seemed like, was there someone in there with us?
And very slowly, Kraloth's gaze drifts downward. He gets this half smile that begins to fade, and you see his hand nervously move over to his right hand and begin to fiddle with the ring that is newly placed upon it. His expression changes. You see his shoulders slacken, and he kind of crumples.
I encountered the truth in there. The truth of who I am, where I'm from, why I'm here, and it's all just a lot. Do you remember Nwanor's hold?
Yeah, of course. Red brings his other foot over the bench and sits next to him. Of course I remember. You and I on the bridge.
The whole thing with the Shaxel, it was all kind of intuitive, really, but I knew deep down that I didn't have a soul, and Shaxel told me as much, and that's why I stole the things, and I still feel terribly about that, by the way, but it turns out it's more than just an intuition and a deep knowing. It's true. I don't want to remember where I came from. I just want to move on, but at the same time, I've come to realize something in there. If I die before I get my soul back, if this body perishes in battle, I will become one of the very abominations that I hunt in the name of Kelimvor.
Kraloth, we're not going to let that happen. We'll find a way. We'll do something. I understand you must feel the weight of this crushing you. I can't imagine how you must feel. This just must be the final precipice of
being not who I want to be, but being who I am. Kraloth's eyes begin to water. And he looks up at you, Red, and you see a grin begin to form on his face. But it's not the same kind of grin as he had on before. It's not plastered on. There's something small and tender, but genuine about it. You know what this means, Red?
No, what does it mean?
It means I have a reason to live. There's a reason for me to be here. I have a purpose, Red. A real purpose.
Kraloth, that's wonderful. I'm so happy, and we're going to help you, no matter what it takes. We're going to get your soul back, no matter what obstacles might stand in the way. What is it, just, you know, buried somewhere? We could do that. We could dig it up. We'll get shovels. No problem.
Well, and his expression sours a little bit. It might not be so simple, Red. Listen, what the captain told me, I promise this will stay between me and you for right now.
Of course. And Red looks again to Doran and Z, who are again just looking at a shop nearby out of distance.
Our souls, we had to protect them. It's how the Knights of the Eternal Order do these things. They're being guarded by, well, they're being guarded by a dragon.
Well, that's okay. Maybe it's a good dragon. Remember that green dragon we met? Maybe we can talk to it. That's not a big deal.
No. It's the dragon that destroyed Doran's home.
Clarion.
Kraloth nods and begins to fidget with the ring again.
Yes, let's just keep this between us. That's a bridge we can cross when we get there. We'll figure it out. You and I, and Red grabs Kraloth's hand and, like, cups it. We got this, buddy. You and me. You and I are the old one, too. We've known each other since before all this began, and we're going to stay together. We're going to figure this out. We're going to get that soul back, buddy.
You know what, Red? For the first time since I met you, I can truly deep down say that I believe you. And he tightens his grip.
And I want to give you inspiration, Justin.
Hey!
Yay! Bye-bye!
Cool. And as Doran and Z sort of start to approach, Red quickly just says, you know, I'm going to take another look at that book that Chasloth the Arghorn gave us, just in case there's something in there about the dragon. Maybe we can figure something out. Anyway, hi, Doran!
Yeah, that's a good idea. Doran, hey, are you guys hungry? There's a cute little bakery right across the street. I was wondering whether or not...
Doran kind of looks a little solemn, and... He looks at you, Kraloth, and he says,
"Now listen here. I've come to grow quite attached to you people, and I just have to say that whatever you need, I'm here for you, friend. And I feel like whatever we're going through, we're going through together now, no matter how difficult it might be."
Doran, you know what I could use?
something from there. And he points across the street, and you see it's this beautiful kind of like gingerbread bakery that has like a smokestack and some cute little enchanted magical things in the window. And cool. He's got his eyes on it. It's basically salivating.
Doran sees you point across the street and
dancing cupcakes in the window.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks good. And he crosses the street and clearly goes to a different store than you.
So you guys all get a couple snacks.
Well, I think I would turn to Z and just be like, do you need to go right now or do you want to get a snack with us?
I mean, my ship is scheduled to set sail soon, but I...
Yeah, I've got everything that I need. I'm happy to see you off as well, Z.
Yeah. We're all going.
Everyone's piled high with Z's bags and assorted snack foods. And you head down to the dock ward with her. The docks of Waterdeep are a buzz of activity. Tall ships are anchored in a large harbor, their sails a blaze of color and movement. A multitude of sailors lounge on stools outside taverns, argue with each other in the street, hang from rigging, completing repairs, sleep in a coil of ropes in a quiet corner. Merchants and fishers haggle and inspect the day's catch, gossiping and joking. Sailing skiffs and luxurious galleons all jostle for a place in the busy harbor. And Z leads you down one boardwalk and then past another to the front of a vessel that's taking on passengers and luggage. Well, it was really nice to see all of you, even just for a little while.
It was nice to see you. What a pleasant surprise.
Will you tell Jack that I said goodbye?
Of course.
Oh, yes, we will.
Doran's honking back a big smoked turkey leg.
She gives you a hug, Doran, and then you, Kraloth. Mm. Would you guys mind taking my luggage down just to that deckhand?
Oh, of course.
Not at all.
Oh, hello. Kraloth waves over at the deckhand.
All right, let's go, Doran. No, you lift. You lift.
Red, Z puts a hand on your shoulder to share a moment with you. She searches your face, blinks once, and in an instant her eyes, the whites and the iris, all of it, turn milky gray. And in a strange voice, she says to you,
"Be aware that contracts with the tide are binding, red-handed Robin."
And then she hands you a little thing wrapped in leather.
And Red, for a moment, is confused, almost like she's making a weird joke. And as he studies her face and the gray in her eyes, a sullen, hunter-like look washes over Red's face. And Red almost nervously flicks his eyes towards Kraloth and Doran and then turns back to her, breathing a little heavier, and he takes it from her hands and...
She's just staring at you. These gray, solid gray eyes just staring at you with a blank expression.
And he opens the leather parcel.
Mm-hmm. There's some gold inside and a note. As you open this parcel to examine it, she nods. Her eyes turn back to the normal human, like brown eyes, whites, Clara. And she turns her back to you and walks the length of the dock back to where the other passengers are boarding the ship. You open this little leather-bound parcel to reveal 200 gold pieces and a note.
And what does the note say?
It's the same note that you had left in the City of the Dead some weeks ago. The words that you had written on the piece of parchment that said, "This should make us even," are scratched out, and underneath, in small, neat printing, is written, "Your word is blood."
And Red breathes a heavy sigh and looks to the figure walking away.
Mm-hmm. She speaks to a member of the crew, and then turns back to the three of you, Doran and Kraloth, where you finished loading her stuff into the boat with the help of some deck hands. And she gives you a cheerful wave goodbye and walks aboard the ship.
Mm.
And I quickly tuck it away.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Z. Have a safe travel.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
You know, Doran, have you ever been on a ship?
No. I dare not get on something that goes on water like that. That's
I hear you there.
Yeah, that's a little too far. You know. Remember that ice thing when we fell through the ice? God, that was, oh no.
I'd almost forgotten about it. Thanks for reminding me.
Don't like water. No siree. No water for me.
Especially when it's cold water. Ooh.
Oh, not, no deeper than I can touch the bottom.
You just don't know what's under there.
Oh God.
Those aren't nice.
And Red's just standing between the two of you as you're like talking back and forth. And Red's just watching the ship sort of sail away.
What about you, Red? You like water, don't you?
Yeah, it's wet. Let's go find Jack. Hmm. And he turns heel and starts heading back towards the dock ward.
Oh, wow. What the hell does that mean? Thank you once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Christopher Ryan Evans, Mitchell Cadwell, Perrin Christie, Mari Kaniski, Jessica Orrit, Colin Burkhardt, Daniel, Doug, Katie Orrit, and Merlin. See you soon, I hope.
Open your eyes, Kraloth.
I'm afraid of what I'll see.
You're afraid of your duty.
Shut up, Alex.
Shut up.
I'm going to say that word like 25 more times. So
yeah, Alex, we got to keep the tone. Sorry. It's tough.
Afraid of what I'll see.